It's 12:47 a.m. and we've just gotten done watching the Golden Globes.
In TV, Succession, Fleabag, and Chernobyl won multiple awards.
And the Golden Globe goes to...
As for the movies, big winners included 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Joaquin Phoenix, Renee Zellweger, Awkwafina, Taron Egerton, and more.
We saw big speeches, a few surprises, plus lifetime achievement prizes went to Ellen DeGeneres and Tom Hanks. I'm Stephen Thompson.
And I'm Linda Holmes. We're talking about the Golden Globes on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, so don't go away.
NPR's Life Kit wants to help you make changes that actually stick this new year. From how to do dry January to how to start a creative habit, we've got new episodes all month to help you start the year off right. New episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen and subscribe to Life Kit.
Welcome back. You just met NPR Music's Stephen Thompson. Also with us burning the midnight oil is Glenn Weldon of the NPR Arts Desk. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Linda.
Well, so as we talked about, we just got through watching the telecast. I think that there were certainly a lot of awards that we thought were deserving that we were happy to see. Glenn, what were you happy to see?
Well, we talk about this every year, but the Globes are weird and the winds that they generate blow weirdly and weakly. And this year they happen to blow in my direction with Fleabag winning for Best Comedy.
And Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
And Phoebe Waller-Bridge winning for Best Actress in a Comedy. Succession winning for Best Drama. Brian Cox winning for Best Lead Actor in a Drama. Chernobyl winning for Best Limited Series. These are all good things.
And Stellan Skarsgård for Supporting Actor.
Right. So those three shows were the best things on television last year, and so that is now consensus.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything going forward. It doesn't mean anything for the Emmys. It doesn't mean anything for the movie wins in the Globes may or may not have anything to do with the Oscars because it's such a widely different voting pool. But, you know, one of the things that I look for the Globes to do is to pick something small that we could just generate more publicity about. So this year, Rami Youssef winning for Rami, that's great. That means more people can see that show, more people can watch his comedy special. This year, he's the Rachel Brosnahan, he's the Rachel Bloom picked to kind of get more love. And that's good. For the major awards on television, at least, things were kind of going my way.
Yeah. And if we shift over to film, 1917, the Sam Mendes war film, was chosen as Best Drama, which is kind of considered the top award. Mm-hmm. Also a top award is the Best Comedy or Musical, which was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the Quentin Tarantino film with Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio. Pitt won for Supporting Actor. They were very spread out, I noticed, right? There's a win for Rocketman for Taron Egerton. There is a win for Joaquin Phoenix for Joker. They're sort of all over the place a little bit. Laura Dern for Marriage Story. You know, they're really spread out. Stephen, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I think one of the reasons to watch the Golden Globes is to get a sense of where those Oscar winds are blowing. And I'm not sure this gave you a much clearer picture for reasons you just mentioned, Linda, other than the fact that The Irishman won nothing.
Right. Yeah.
You know, was very heavily nominated and sort of went nowhere. It seemed to create some momentum for movies like 1917 and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which I think didn't even need the momentum.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was an interesting awards show. You know, I thought there were some satisfying wins, like Glenn said, but it was very herky-jerky.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to talk a lot about the host, Ricky Gervais. I found his effect on the show to be kind of deadening. This kind of I don't care tone kind of makes me as a viewer care less. And, and at the same time, there were some nice moments. I mean, who doesn't love a warm Tom Hanks speech?
Yeah. Well, and there are a couple of other winners, even though we definitely do not have the time to talk about every individual winner. There are a couple others that I want to make sure that I mention, one of whom is Awkwafina, who won for The Farewell. She was the first Asian-American woman to win in the category of lead actress in a comedy or a musical. I think you can argue about whether that film is a comedy, but that was a very lovely win. And also Michelle Williams, who won for Fosse Verdon. It was very frustrating this year because the Globes did not nominate any women directors. for the category that Sam Mendes eventually won for directing 1917.
Yeah, Little Women was mostly shut out of
nominations. Exactly. You know, Little Women, there was also The Farewell. There were, you know, there were good choices this year. Some really painful, you know, omissions. Ava DuVernay's When They See Us on the TV side. An overwhelmingly white slate of actors. Not entirely, but overwhelmingly. Was there anything that surprised the two of you guys?
I was kind of surprised by the Taron Egerton win as lead actor in a comedy or musical. Not because I don't think he was good, but I don't think he was as good as some of the other folks in that category.
And he played Elton John in Rocket Man.
He played Elton John in Rocket Man. And then I got to thinking, you know, Rocket Man is maybe the most Golden Globes-y movie out there. It just lines up with their sensibility in such a strong way. I don't think it inched up his chances for an Oscar because I think, again, the voting pool is so different and that is such a weird movie. But, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody did well at the Oscars. So what the hell do I know?
Yeah.
In terms of surprises, I definitely want to mention animated feature.
Missing Link Fever.
The Missing Link Fever that was very, very missing when, for example, the movie Missing Link came out. That movie cost an absolute fortune to make. It is a Laika is the studio that made it, and it's kind of stop motion animation, but with very elaborate sets. It was an extremely heavy lift from a standpoint of animation in service of a cute movie about a Yeti played by Zach Galifianakis. It's a very cute film. It was up against Toy Story 4 and Frozen 2, which are these animation juggernauts that I think everybody sort of assumed would be going kind of head-to-head in that category. And speaking of Frozen 2, I was actually a little surprised that the Rocket Man song beat Into the Unknown, which if you guys, it's pretty late, but if you guys want to crank out a few bars of Into the Unknown.
That's really okay.
Okay, they've got Rocket Man song fever also. I want to go back to something. You know, we talked a little bit about that we were not going to get into the hosting, which I would rather not. I thought, you know, as you said, I think that performance hosting-wise was pretty dismal. But I did think that what lifted this show a little bit were some of the speeches. You mentioned the Tom Hanks award, which was presented to him by Charlize Theron.
It was just like an ode to graciousness.
And he was, I thought he made a lovely speech where he talked a lot about professionalism.
About the craft.
And the craft and collaboration. And he talked about Peter Scolari and Holland Taylor, who were on Bosom Buddies with him back in the day.
But I have also been made better by watching the examples of some of the greatest actors that have ever walked the stage. Peter Scolari and Holland Taylor a million years ago. Robin Wright. Barkhad Abdi, believe it or not, who was in his very first film, what was so very much an artist, there was no doubt about it.
Just really gracious, and then talking a lot about, like, be a decent human being, like, all the way to, like, come to work on time, know what you're supposed to do, be a good worker.
Showing up on time is one of the greatest liberating acts you can give yourself in a movie. That means Those people with radios in the ears don't need to knock on your door and say they're ready for you. You're actually already ready, and you have the liberty and you have the freedom of being there early enough to settle down, because when the time comes, you have to hit the marks and you have to go there.
It's such a great approach to that kind of speech, because it's about, you know, lifetime achievement. So what he's doing is imparting practical wisdom.
Yeah.
It's not about fulsome praise. It's not about insincerity. It's about just being a professional.
Also, I think the other sort of similar presentation was Kate McKinnon presenting the Carol Burnett Award, which they just inaugurated last year for, you know, when they gave it to Carol Burnett. Kate McKinnon presented it to Ellen DeGeneres. And, you know, I think Ellen DeGeneres is a complicated figure for people. She has this likability, but she also can kind of be a person that people struggle with in terms of the way she engages with or doesn't engage with public ideas, I think. Kate McKinnon spoke about her from the standpoint of, you know, having been a kid who thought she might be gay and saw Ellen on television and how important she was.
Of course, attitudes change, but only because brave people like Ellen jump into the fire to make them change. And if I hadn't seen her on TV, I would have thought, oh, I could never be on TV. They don't let LGBTQ people on TV. And more than that, I would have gone on thinking that I was an alien and that I maybe didn't even have a right to be here. So thank you, Ellen, for giving me a shot.
I was struck by how many speeches were kind of politically, and I feel like politically is kind of diminishing in
sure.
a way, but they were
about the world.
Concerned about the current state of the world. Several mentions of the fires in Australia, the current state of things in Iran, and then Michelle Williams talking about a woman's right to choose and speaking about her personal life and how that affected her career.
I've tried my very best to live a life of my own making, and not just a series of events that happened to me, but one that I could stand back and look at and recognize my handwriting all over, sometimes messy and scrawling, sometimes careful and precise, but one that I had carved with my own hand. And I wouldn't have been able to do this without employing a woman's right to choose.
Yeah, it almost felt like there was a bit of counter-programming against the apathy of the host.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
to come who had specifically scolded people in advance about giving political speeches. And mm-hmm. I think people kind of took that as an opportunity to stick their thumb in his eye.
Yeah. It was a different Globes to me, right? The Globes has in the past been kind of the tipsy Oscars,
right,
the kind of the sillier, funnier, drunker. This did not feel like that to me. This mm-hmm. felt, with a couple of exceptions, Tiffany Haddish, who you heard in the intro when the award for Chernobyl was announced, saying Chernobyl as perhaps no one ever has.
This kid had kind of a you get a car quality to it.
But other than that, it didn't feel that way to
me. What you're indicating there is a lack of energy, which was, again, the apathy of the host leaches into the proceedings. So when something like when Kate McKinnon comes out to do her introduction to Ellen DeGeneres, and she's just kind of striding out with this great forceful arms swinging stride, then you're like, okay, somebody is here to have fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who do you think's chances have increased, decreased? We've talked about this many times, but the Globes is its own thing. But I do get the sense that Brad Pitt's chances went mm-hmm. up following this, because there is a lot of momentum at the back of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood in general. I think Laura Dern's chances went up. She won for Best Supporting Actress for Marriage Story. I think J-Lo's chances? I don't know. I don't know what to make of J-Lo's chances. That was kind of a weird snub for me.
Yeah, J-Lo nominated for Hustlers, didn't win, lost to Laura Dern. Huh. I admire both of those performances in very different ways.
Very different ways. I mean, you definitely had some foregone conclusions that were cemented. I was very happy to see Parasite win for Foreign Language Film. I really like that Renee Zellweger performance in Judy that won for Best Actress in a Drama. I will talk more about that, I think, closer to Oscar season. As far as whose chances, you know, went up or down, you don't see a lot of momentum for The Irishman with it coming away with no wins. You don't see a lot of momentum for The Two Popes, which got shut out. A Dolomite Is My Name got shut out. I think 1917 winning Best Drama gives that movie a certain amount of momentum going into the announcement of Oscar nominations. That's opening wide on Friday.
Yeah. I think, you know, one of the things I would normally say, the Globes have nothing to do with the Oscars. But, you know, somebody did point out this week that the Oscar voting period is only like a week long this year, and we're right in the middle of it. And it's not that it's exactly a predictor, but, you know, maybe you hear about something and it causes you to at least seek it out and say, before I vote, I should see this. So maybe, you know, or if you were thinking, well, that's not a plausible winner, or that's, you know, this one's a foregone conclusion, maybe this changes your mind and maybe it does affect your vote. Anything else you want to say before we go?
Justice for Forky.
Justice for Forky.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, that brings us to the end of our show. We want to know what you thought about the Golden Globe Awards. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH or tweet us at PCHH. Thanks to both of you for being here and staying up with me.
Thank you.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second and you're so inclined, subscribe to our newsletter. You can do that at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. We will see you all right back here on Friday.